Hillel says, "Im ein ani li mi li," if I am not for myself, who am I? How do you do that spiritually? What's he asking of us? What's the question? It can't meant to be like selfish. So what's the point?
Welcome to Consciously, a podcast focused on honest conversations for regular people seeking spiritual growth. Here's our host, Menachem Poznanski.
Hey, Consciously family, welcome back. Okay, back in the saddle again. We're talking Elul, we're talking Hillel and Pirkei Avos. We're talking Who Am I? Before we get there, I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast. I want to invite you to give stars and reviews if you'd like. Most importantly, share with your friends. Let anyone who would benefit from this podcast know about our little family we got going on over here. Also, you can check us out on The Light Revealed, our website, Instagram, Facebook, lightrevealed.org, at The Light Revealed, on all those places. Also, if you want to reach out, you can reach us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Okay, so here we are. Last week, last episode, we were talking about a theme that relates to Elul, to this time of year that we're recording this, towards coming towards the end of 5783 in the Jewish calendar and moving towards 5784. And in the process of getting ready for a new year in Jewish spiritual practice, it's a time of reflection, which is, you know, not surprising. In a system of spiritual practice that we're coming to an end of a process, we want to take a look at what we did right, maybe what we didn't do as well, and where we want to move towards. Last time we were talking about kind of a different frame and really looking at our inventory for last year by looking at the moments when we, you know, embraced God, our higher power, that inner force of spirituality deep down within us as an ever urging and inspiring force that urges us on and on and on in our spiritual growth, always just over the horizon. And then also God, our higher power, that spiritual force deep down within us, as a source of comfort and strength when we're going through tough times. You know, kind of taking a look back at the year and looking at where we invited God in, both when things are going, I guess, smoothly and when things were not going as smoothly. And then we touched on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, famous Mishnah of Hillel, Im ein ani li mi li, ve'im ani la'atzmi ma'ani, ve'im la'ach shavei masai. Hillel poses ostensibly three questions: who am I, what am I, and when, right? Which correlates, as we talked about, to ownership, owning our mission, owning ourselves, our own spiritual journey, a sense of missionhood, a sense of what our purpose is in the world, and then a sense of initiative, a sense of alacrity towards, you know, moving towards where we're supposed to go, and looking at that as a theme for kind of preparing for this time of year, but also I guess general and just in spiritual growth. It's viable. It's also correlated to the themes that we're going to be talking about on the upcoming Rosh Hashanah retreat that TLR does, that we do with Madrigos, where the theme is Im La'ach Shavei Masai, which is like seize the moment, really, you know, taking up the opportunity, the spiritual opportunity that is life, particularly at this juncture of the year. So today, or the next really three episodes, I really wanted to focus in on all of those questions, particularly like, who am I today? You know, like that first question, Im ein ani li mi li, if I am not for me, then who is for me? Then who will be, right? Which really asks like, who am I in the sense of my ownership of my life? You know, you read that first statement and without the qualifier of the second statement, it seems like it's an utterly selfish statement. Im ein ani li mi li, if I don't take care of myself, no one else is going to take care of me. I got to look out for me. Right, but then when you put in the context of the second statement, if I am for myself, then what am I? Right, it obviously shows, it qualifies that the selfishness, self-centeredness is not the intention of what Hillel's talking about. Right, that's the kind of the underlying literal irony that the author puts there. Right, so then it begs the question, like, what is Hillel trying to say? Im ein ani li mi li. And if I am not for myself, And what am I? Or who am I? And a lot of what that opens the door for, I think the question or like the frame opens the door for a lot of different kind of hypotheses about what the Tanna meant. But maybe one of the ways that you could interpret it relates to how I orient towards myself, which corresponds to a theme that we've been talking about a lot on the podcast, particularly in the last few months, which is really about our relationship with ourselves, how we see ourselves, how we face shame and guilt in relationship to the ways in which we've fallen short. But what I wanted to talk about today is really kind of the idea of embracing a dialectic view of ourselves and of our reality. I think there are themes that we've definitely touched on over the years, but just to kind of connect it to this idea, right? Which really means to be able to see that, you know, as much as we have many parts and all of those parts have utility and purpose, you know, and there's no parts that are for sure evil, but there are definitely parts of ourselves that we like and parts that we don't like or wish would grow up. And what do we do with those parts? That's really what I wanted to kind of talk about today. So in order to connect to that, there's a series of chapters in Tanya that really come to mind in this process. And the most famous of them is the like second to last in the series in Lamed Beis. And in Lamed Beis, which spells literally lave, which is the heart, and it's known as the heart of Tanya. In Lamed Beis, Perek Lamed Beis, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya discusses the idea of the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. And he really poses two questions. First of all, how can God command me to love other Jews when maybe they're annoying or deceitful or obnoxious, abusive, right? How can I be compelled to love them, right? And then the second question that he poses, which is like, well, if you take a more thorough reading of Judaism, there are definitely instructions within Chazal that teach us to really not think kindly of people that are engaged in riotous living, people that are living in an unspiritual way, to even the language that's used in the Psukim and in Tehillim, and also in Chazal, is that you have an obligation to hate them. Uses the language hate, which seems very contrary to the idea of after Ech Kamecha Zeklal Gadol B'Torah, to love every Jew. And even as the Alter Rebbe points out, it's also very opposite, you know, a different Mishnah in Avos, right, that Hillel teaches, which is about being like Aaron HaKohen, right, and to Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, Oev Ezabriyas U'Makarvan LaTorah, right, which means when you find people that aren't, you find people that aren't necessarily on the right path, you have to love them and draw them close, right? Specifically, as the Alter Rebbe points out, in order that hopefully you can have an influence on them and help them to, live differently, to live more according to the ideals that will help them to be happy. So what do we do with all of that? How do we balance all those different things? So what the Alter Rebbe presents is really that it requires a mature perspective that includes kind of a dialectical frame, which allows me to view two things at the same time. Right, so obviously, on the one hand, I have the obligation to love other people, and I also have an obligation to disapprove of negative things. And how do I balance those two things at the same time? Now, the anchor of that chapter are the chapters that precede it, where the Baal HaTanya discusses the idea of beginning to view ourselves as spiritual beings having a human experience, as opposed to seeing ourselves as human beings trying to have a spiritual experience, right? That essentially we are souls. That's what we are, even though our consciousness, as the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya describes, is really very much, more often than not, very much rooted in our material self, our self that's very rooted in this world. However, our truest self, which is a really interesting term, especially when you start talking about the idea within the frames of psychology and psychotherapy today, with different frames, like what we're going to talk about today is definitely correlated to ideas that are surrounding methodologies like DBT and then specifically IFS, which has become much more popularized more recently, right? So all of those ideas, many of those ideas are about connecting with your true self, right? To really come to that place of balance, of being able to recognize and to embody your true self. And what the Alter Rebbe explains is that according to Judaism, your truest self is your nefesh elokis, your godly soul. That's your truest self. It's not always the self that's most present in your consciousness, right? And as a person works, hopefully more and more, their godly soul, their divine soul, the spirit, the spark of divinity that's within them becomes more and more manifest within their consciousness. But nonetheless, along the path, you know, there's other parts of us that tend to like overtake our consciousness, and our truest self can retreat to the background. So the Alter Rebbe discusses the values of starting to, even before we get to a place where we're trying to bring our true self into a forward place within our consciousness, into a more actualized place in our consciousness, even just to realize from a religious frame, from a spiritual frame, what our true self is, right? And as we begin to realize what and who our true self is, right, which is our soul, the spark of divinity that lives deep down within us, that's our true self, then that changes how we deal with ourselves, how we deal with our mission and purpose in this world. And most significantly, in chapter Lamed Beis, in the Lave of Tanya, how we look at other people. Because the Alter Rebbe says that as a person trains themselves and practices looking at themselves as a spiritual being, having a human experience, right? Their true self as a spiritual being having a human experience, right? So then they can look at others and also realize that they are a spiritual being having a human experience. And as we begin to like kind of orient towards those thoughts and to see people that way, right, and to practice looking at the world in that way, we can realize that like, well, if I'm a spark of divinity and he or she is a spark of divinity, then really we're brothers and sisters, we're siblings, we're connected, we're deeply connected, right? And even though, you know, however I feel about them externally, at the end of the day, I can have a sense of reus, a sense of friendliness and love, right, for others, because really we're ultimately connected. The way in which we're disconnected is because of our bodies. We have different parents, right? So our bodies are different, and maybe our personalities are different, maybe our cultures are different. But at the end of the day, if we were to strip down the layers deep down inside, deep down beneath the surface, what you would find is a sense of connectedness. And as a person can practice that, that is a key to be able to come to a place of Ahavas Yisrael. So the Alter Rebbe is specifically first talking about this dialectic of saying, I recognize that I see the world through the lens of the material, through the lens of my body, or through the lens of emotions. But as I practice looking at the world through a spiritual lens and seeing that my true self is a spirit, and then I look at other people, and when thoughts of negativity or hate start to crop up, and then I remind myself that even though maybe some of those external things, you know, are not so pleasant, right? But who they really are, who they truly are, is my brother, my sister. And then we can come to a place of loving them. So then the Alter Rebbe asks, so what about the context that we were talking about before? What about the ideas that we were talking before about hating other people that are not doing, that are living riotously? And the Alter Rebbe says very clearly, he gives two answers. He says two things. He says, first of all, there's one which very much correlates to what we're talking about today, but a different one that doesn't like so explicitly correlate, but it's definitely worthwhile to repeat. He says, first of all, within the context of Jewish spirituality, you're never obligated to think negatively of anybody who's on a lesser spiritual place than you. That the idea of hating someone who's doing something negative or incorporating a sense of distaste around someone who's acting in a way that's hateful or that is deserving of despisement, right? That's specifically for someone who's has all of the benefits that you have in terms of spirituality. They've access to all the same resources as you. They're holding on the same level in their lives. You've actually taken the time to talk to them, to point out to them, give them feedback about what they're doing. And really, they're just very willfully kind of staying stuck in that place. Meaning, so they have every opportunity to step out of their riotous living. They're not being compelled by overriding forces. And you've made the effort to try to reach out to them and to try to like talk to them straight, not to talk behind their back and not to denigrate them, put them down, but rather to say, hey, brother, you seem like you're off kilter here. You know, I think you're making a mistake. And oh, shut up, don't listen to me. That's the only circumstance where someone's compelled to hate, which we're going to get to in a moment, what that means in a moment, right? But anybody else, and I think that this can be true as relates, and there's for sure source text for this. It's not like an idea that I thought of myself, right? You could have different people in different positions in different moments of their lives, particularly if you're talking about Tanya, that's very much a path you know, meaning someone could be a tzaddik in one area and a rasha in a different area. Someone could be a beinoni in one area and a tzaddik in another, right? There's different things that we do well. So when you look at it that way, before you start getting into really getting frustrated at somebody, you have to really make sure that you've, you know, as Chazal say, that you've really stood in their shoes, that you really understand where they're coming from, and see that they're like acting maliciously in a negative way. And then you should really despise that evil, right? And the Alter Rebbe actually uses the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we described, which is right, that we should all be like Aaron HaKohen, Oiv Shalom V'Reidiv Shalom, Oiv HaZabrius, when we're carving the Torah, right? So clearly Hillel HaZaken is teaching us that when you see somebody who's in a lesser place, right? And that's why he says that Hillel uses the language Brios, creations, right? Which means anything, right? Anyone, it doesn't matter how, so to speak, low the person is, that you have the obligation to reach out to them, to draw them close, and to try to influence them in the possible way, and not to hate, God forbid. So then, okay, fine. So we made that distinction between hating people that are, so to speak, deserving of the hate versus hating people that have just fallen into a bad spot. But then the Alter Rebbe goes further, and he says, really, a proper Torah, spiritual-based perspective rooted in Pnimis HaTorah requires further layers of dialectic. He said, because while a person has an obligation to hate the negative, they at the same time are commanded by the Torah, right? The overriding question that we had in the first place, how is it possible to love every Jew as yourself if there's things that are disgusting, inherently disgusting? The Alter Rebbe said, even if a person has permission or even an obligation to despise something within a person, that doesn't override their obligation to love them. So the Alter Rebbe explains that you have to love the essence of the person, right? Because the essence of the person is their soul, their spiritual being having a human experience. And you have to despise the part of them, the behavior that's emerging out that's doing that bad thing. You have to love them, their essence, but pity or really despise, come to a place of hate, right? For those people. And then the Alter Rebbe says, brings an even further dialectic. And he said, even that part from within the teachings of Chazal, even that part where a person has to hate, then there's rachmanis, so to speak, which is something I'd like to talk about more and more, but compassion that comes in, that even when the Alter Rebbe explains that even once a person comes to a place and says, I love that guy, but I really hate when he behaves that way, there's also an obligation in the Torah to have rachmanis, to have pity. And rachmanis comes and sweetens the dinim. It sweetens the negativity or the darkness, the severity, in order to bring in back in the love, right? So that a person's the path of the Alter Rebbe, when a person encounters ugly things in other people, right, is first you have to love them, they're a soul. Then you have to hate the negative things that they do, but then you have to have compassion and pity, empathy for them, to see where they're coming from, and that will sweeten the hate, so that you don't hate them, that you only feel a sense of compassion and love for them. And that's really the best path towards Ahavas Yisrael, towards loving other Jews. So now, I want to try to apply this idea, if we kind of take that in context, to how we treat ourselves, particularly when we have different parts of ourselves, right? One of the frames, I talked about IFS, and the main text of IFS uses the title, No Bad Parts, right? And those are wonderful ideas, but there's a nuance here that I want to like tease out a little bit, because it's not really about having no bad parts, as the Alter Rebbe explains. Really, because every yid at the end of the day, just like our friend, meaning if we were to look at ourselves as a friend, right, and we have an obligation to love ourselves, right, so you have to treat yourself just like you would treat your friend, so to speak. You could turn the language on its head, just like I have to treat others the way I would treat myself, so I have to treat myself the way I would treat others, right? So it's not an issue of having bad parts, but rather that we have parts of ourselves that we like and parts of ourselves that we don't like. We have parts of ourselves that we enjoy, and parts of ourselves that we don't yet enjoy, right? One of the frames in that idea of parts is that we have parts of ourselves that are very protective, right? And then sometimes they can be protective in really destructive ways that kind of try to protect us or shelter us from unhealthy or uncomfortable feelings, right? And that those things sometimes drive us to behave in a way that's ultimately self-sabotaging and self-destructive, right? So, but the first recognition is that it's not about a moral question of bad parts or good parts, right? It's not about not having bad parts, only having good parts, but rather identifying the parts of ourselves that essentially work for us. They work in line with our spiritual principles, right? And our spiritual principles are rooted in our true selves, right? Which is a spark of divinity. And, or those parts that even though their intention is ultimately for a functionality, for a safety and a serenity, but they don't operate within the frame of our ideals, right? They don't operate within the frame of, they don't emerge out of the spark of divinity that's deep down inside of us. And therefore, we want to help them to grow. We want to give them permission to step back in certain moments. We want to give them permission to retire in some ways at some certain points, to say, it's okay, you don't have to protect me like that anymore. I appreciate that you came, and I appreciate that you protected me, and it's time you can retire now. You can step aside, or you can apply things in different directions. And all of this really frames the idea of owning our journey toward our true self, because the idea of identifying the different parts, meaning the parts that we love, right, which is ultimately rooted in our truest self, our neshama, and then you have the parts that work, and then you have the parts that don't work, the parts that are pleasant, the parts that are unpleasant. As we begin to tease those out, always anchoring our perspective in our true self, we're really on a journey towards allowing our true self to really be manifest and actualized within our everything, within our perspective, to begin to see the world as a spiritual playground for a soul, right? That's trying to manifest the vision and desire of God to have a dwelling space in the lowest world, right? So that idea, that dialectic, that idea that there can be different parts and I can feel one way about some parts and feel another way about other parts, but then even the parts that I feel another way, meaning maybe in a way that's more harsh or more abrasive, even that part they need compassion, right? They need a sense of awareness of where they come from and where they emerge from, which is the main point that the Alter Rebbe makes at the end, right? Which is the way in which rachamim, compassion, saves chesed, right? The desire for love. We have our desire for love, and then comes in the gvura, the strength, which is wants to protect us and keep us safe and keep us disciplined and keep us focused, right? And if gvura and chesed, if our desire to love and be connected and feel good is just left in conflict with gvura, with severity, sometimes the chesed can be, even if we're in that space of dialectic, we can be left in a very black and white existence, but we allow the compassion to come in to see where the gvura is coming from and to be able to recognize the places where gvura is appropriately applied, where the severity is appropriately applied to protecting ourselves, not in a way that hurts others, to protecting ourselves, not in a way which sabotages the good in our lives, to protect ourselves according to our spiritual principles that emerge from our truest self, which emerge from the spark of divinity that's within us, then we can begin to be our truest self. And then we can begin really to perhaps begin to, we can begin to embody the first part of the mission of Hillel HaZaken, Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li. Right? If I am not for myself, who am I? Meaning if I am not on the journey toward my truest self, then who am I? I'm some other guy. I'm the combination of different parts that are in collision with one another, as opposed to the true path of Jewish spirituality, which is to become a true self, a whole self, with different parts, some parts which are good, some parts whose instincts are not great, and parts that begin to mature and grow towards being the person that we're meant to be. Okay. We'll see you next week. Hope you enjoyed. Much love.
Thank you for joining the Consciously family. Consciously is brought to you by The Light Revealed, a social media publisher bringing messages of Jewish spirituality and recovery to whoever is looking for them. Consciously is made possible by the kindness of the Capellius family in memory of Tzipora Bas Ravaram. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can give us a review and subscribe wherever else you get your podcasts. We love connecting with you, so please check out our website, thelightrevealed.org. Feel free to email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Our producer is Morty Schwartz. Our social media content team is Zoe Poznanski and Tehilo Nassanian. The assistant to the regional co-host is Shmaya Honickman, and our music is by Eitan Katz featuring Zusha. Thank you for joining, and we wish you the most blessed day in only revealed ways.